Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Phil O'Neill, president of MP1 Capital. And Phil, let's talk about the big news story for the resource sector. That is the acquisition of Atlantic Gold, acquired for just over 800 million Canadian dollars by an Australian miner, St. Barbara, which is listed on the ASX and is following this trend where we are seeing Australian companies that are doing well start to snatch up some of the North American companies. Atlantic Gold was one of those that I actually just had back on the show. I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. They had built a very nice project and they were mining profitably. They're generating some good cash flow and now they're gone for an all cash deal, but they're gone to an Australian company. What's your general takeaway from this deal?
Well, I mean, one of the first things you said, great for the resource sector in Canada. I'm not sure. I mean, there seems to have been no bump to anybody else. It was certainly great for Atlantic Gold, one of the better-run mining companies, in my opinion, in Canada. So great for their shareholders and the like. But here we go again. The Aussies seem to be raising a lot more money than we are. They seem to be a little bit more focused on mining versus the Canadian infatuation with exploration and trying to find the next big thing. I mean, is it a hollowing out? I'm not sure. I didn't really see a bump with any other of the companies, but truly phenomenal news for Atlantic Gold, one of the better run companies that, like you said, mining profitably. The ASX listed miners seem to be very forward thinking in terms of growth, and the companies and the size of the B2 Gold and smaller really, I think, focused in on Canada as a great jurisdiction to acquire smaller miners in terms of growing ounces into their corporate structure. So great move for St. Barbara. I would imagine we may see some more ASX-listed companies do this, especially in this period of depressed gold stock prices. So great move for Atlantic Gold. Again, doesn't seem to really register with anybody except the ones like you and I that follow the industry closely.
Yeah, well, it's kind of an interesting deal in the sense that, again, it's an Australian company, and you mentioned generally depressed share prices. That a lot has to do with North American companies because, again, these Australian companies are doing better in terms of production and in terms of share price. One thing that Atlantic Gold really, I think, was good at, and one thing that made it stand out, again, was profitably mining, growing their mining as well with some of their estimates in the coming years of, I believe, almost doubling what they were producing. They were mining some nice high grade. This was a good company. And as you said, we haven't really seen a pop in any correlated companies. Now, maybe that will happen as people take money off the table. But what does it mean to you when we're seeing some of the better companies in North America get snapped up and not almost stick it out or try to grow into bigger, more established companies in the North American market?
Well, it makes me wonder if my trend to looking and refocusing at bigger companies trying to mine, bigger Canadian companies trying to mine versus small micro juniors looking to explore is the way to go. I mean, certainly the Australians, I think in the last 2 years have raised more money. The ASX has raised more money for mining than the TSX and TSX Venture combined, which I think is historically the first time that has ever happened. They seem to have tapped in very nicely into some of the Asian money that is interested. You know, whenever you go with a company on a road trip through Asia and you present a Canadian junior that's looking for some, you know, the fund manager in Hong Kong is going to ask you what's your cash flow, and you're having to explain to them, no, this is an exploration company. We're just looking for stuff, and you know, Asian investors don't get that. So maybe the Aussies have figured it out, and you know, as it pertains to me, I've been thinking, you know, as I deploy my money, should I possibly be looking at bigger companies? I've talked previously about the volume trap. Typically, like, you know, a company like Atlantic Gold, you can take a fair-sized position in that and not have to worry about getting off your position if something ever happened that you had to move off your position. So, yeah, it's really got me thinking about this play on just speculation on drill results and whether that model is sustainable. It's seemingly nobody's able to raise money here. It was really like an exclamation mark. I've been looking at the ASX a little bit more. It would seem that they've been able to finance much better, much more efficiently without the need of warrants. And this kind of put an exclamation mark on it that maybe this is where the trend is going and, you know, make the trend your friend.
Now, that's an interesting thing that you point out there is that, yes, North America still seems to be very focused on exploration and sometimes small-scale production, but a lot of that money that is raised simply goes out the door and then the companies come back to the market for more money. Australia, you can argue that they've had it easier with their price in gold in Australian terms still moving higher, but it still seems like those Australian companies have done much better with bringing projects into production and actually generating cash flow. Is this maybe one of those fundamental flaws that we're seeing in Canada right now? Too much focus on exploration, looking for that one big takeout offer rather than trying to run, you know what, a profitable, sustainable company?
Yeah, I guess one is an investing game and the Canadian market is more of a speculation capital gains game, right? Where you're trying to make money on the shares you bought as a capital gain versus income and reinvestment. And the pool of speculative money for junior mining is tiny to begin with. It's lost a lot of money over the years. Even with some of the winners, everybody's got a bunch of losers. Till that pool expands, I'm not sure if the Canadian, you know, system is viable. Whereas the Aussies are focusing on, you know, they've got their fair share of explorers as well, but they're seemingly more focused on production, and maybe that opens up a pool of investors that are more varied. They also tend to do financings without the warrants, so that if you do take a position in a financing there, you don't have the huge upside, but you don't have the overhang. You're not having to always calculate the fully diluted shares, how much of the, you know, the optionable securities are in the money versus not. It makes for a very, very big difference. They haven't been hit with the whole, you know, check swapping schemes and nonsense that have unfortunately been a little bit prevalent here. Very, very interesting. I mean, we've spoken before, Corey, about how the ASX is really taking a jump forward, and this is a real, at least in the short term here, a real feather in the cap, so to speak, to have an ASX-listed company come get a Canadian junior, you know, seemingly out of the blue moon.
Now, Phil, do you think we are seeing almost a fundamental or generational shift here where a lot of people thought that, yes, okay, Australia, they do have mining companies, they have a bit of a different market down there. Well, in Canada, especially in Vancouver, that's where you have all this junior resource and that's where the resource sector is focused. Do you think this could be the start of more of a generational shift and the focus, even as you said, starting to shift more to Australian companies?
Well, it could be a shift. It's hard to call a shift when there's, you know, minus this transaction, little to no activity in the space together. So, I mean, it's really, when the money does come back and it starts, if it does start moving more meaningfully to the ASX, then I think we could really call a shift. At a very small level, I mean, it's really hard to call a shift when there's been so little activity in the space altogether. I mean, we're excited there is activity. I mean, in bull markets, stuff like this happens once a week. We may not hear another M&A activity for, you know, until September. The people I talk to, certainly, there's a lot more focus. I've got my good colleague Dave Forrest, who writes the International Speculator, and as the markets here slowly. I know I talked to him last Friday, and he's spending a lot of time and energy and work looking at ASX listed companies, you know, even setting up brokerage accounts so that you can trade them more efficiently as well, right? I'm past the point of being intrigued by the ASX. I'm looking in the fall to attending a few more conferences focused on ASX listed companies.
Okay, hey, that's very interesting and telling just in itself. So I think, Phil, there's one thing that is, I guess, positive, and that is some M&A deal. But again, we need to understand that that is an Australian company that is taking out a profitable Canadian miner that really had been bucking the trend compared to the rest of the sector, which is moving kind of sideways at best for a lot of the shares. And we're also seeing this issue in terms of North Americans raising money, first and foremost, something that Kai Hoffman over at Oranic has pointed out. Plus, you know what, there just isn't that same money flowing into the sector. And now if we continue to see some more companies get taken out by Australian companies, I think we are going to see, and you're not going to be alone, with more focus shifting to those Australian companies. But right now, though, that Atlantic Gold story, it is the biggest story in the sector, an M&A deal, but again, an M&A deal where that company is heading over to an Australian company. Phil, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time, and have a great rest of your week.
Sounds good, Corey. Have a good one.